All right. So this morning, I'm going to preach about walking on water. And I told somebody this yesterday, and somebody that I didn't know very well, and he's like, well, technically, when Jesus walked on water, like the storm and the air, and he wasn't really on the water. And I was like, well, the Bible says he walked on water, so he walked on water. But that's how I am. I kind of just receive the Bible for what it says. I believe that it's true, and that's what I told him. I said, it just depends on your perspective. I believe that whatever God wrote, in here is true, and it says that he walked on water. But when we think about something that's impossible in life, there's a lot of things in our lives that we're told are impossible. And some of those things maybe are, but you know what was impossible one time was flying. Right? That was impossible. Couldn't be done. It was impossible to do the things that they did in the early days with computers, where they replaced human labor that took hours and hours and hours, and they were doing it in seconds and seconds. And then now we're to the point where we can watch a video on our watch, right, in just a few. Listen, I'm not that old, and this is like since I was in high school, right, since some of you guys were in high school. That I remember when we got that first computer when I was like a senior in high school, and it was so awesome, right, that you could play like solitaire on the computer and all those, like those things that we thought were so great to do back then. But a lot of things people say are impossible, we come to find out later that they're really not, but a lot of things we say are impossible are things that we make that declaration. This is impossible in my life. There's something that I can't get through, I can't figure out, nobody can help me. And how do we respond to those situations? Do we respond with faith or with fear? And so as far as walking on water, you know, a lot of people would say that's impossible. I want to encourage you this morning to consider taking a step. And we'll see how to do that this morning, what the Lord teaches us in this story. We're going to pick up in Matthew 14. And Jesus had just fed the 5,000. Okay? If you're not familiar with the story, he's preaching, it's been a long day, and the disciples are like, Jesus, it's time to eat, what are we going to do? There's a lot of people here, we don't have that kind of money, and Jesus is like, well, what do we have, right? And so we got the fishes and the loaves that they find, and Jesus prays, he thanks the Father for them, starts handing it out, it feeds everybody. 5,000 men plus women and children. So this amazing thing. And what happened was the people saw this miracle. Okay? And the people, they were ready to crown Jesus. They're like, this is surely the one. This is the prophet, is specifically what they said. This is the prophet that the word has told us about. Let's force him to be our king. Right? Let's make him king. And this is where we pick up today. It says, following this, Jesus, immediately, he made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. After dismissing the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Well into the night, he was there alone. Jesus. They're trying to force him to be king. He sends his crew on the boat, his friends. He says, go, get on the boat. I'll dismiss these people, and then I'm going to go and I'm going to pray. What you may not realize is that Jesus would have known what was going on. He would have known the temperament of the sea. He would have known the time of day and what the forecast was long before there was incorrect weathermen. Right? I told somebody the other day, if you don't know what to do with your life and you don't care about being a failure, just be a meteorologist. They're wrong most of the time and make a great living, you know. But Jesus would have known the season. He would have known the storm. He would have known what was coming, and he sends his friends on the boat ahead of him. Have you ever thought about that and wondered why? Why would Jesus tell them? In fact, it says he made them go get on the boat. Go get on the boat and head on across, and, you know, I'll see you guys over there. Was this a season of testing? Was there a lesson for them to learn? I think that maybe those could be the case, but I think even more than that, that he was trying to get their attention. I think he was trying to get their focus a little bit redirected here, because they too saw this miracle. They too took part in this miracle. If you remember, they were the ones that passed it out. They were the ones that gathered it up and had 12 baskets of food left over at the end. Mind you, these leftovers, these very same leftovers, are in the boat with the disciples. This reminder of the miracle, this reminder of what God can do. And I kind of imagine that they were pretty pumped up too, like the crowd was. I don't know if maybe they were too ready to crown Jesus as king and say, I mean, look at what he just did. Let's put him in the White House, right? Let's put him in there and let him take over and rule and reign. Look at how great he is. And so I believe that Jesus took this as an opportunity to get their attention on what was to come, what was next. See, when Jesus went off to pray, it wasn't usually because of what he had just been through. It was usually because of what he was facing and what was coming next. And so Jesus goes to pray, probably for them, but I think mostly for what is to come. And so he sends his disciples out in this storm. And before you think about this, that it's really mean of Jesus to send his disciples in the storm. Anybody think about that? Like, I mean, it's really kind of a rude way to teach somebody a lesson, right? To put their lives in danger, to put them in this place of fear. But from a human perspective, that probably does seem scary. It probably seems like Jesus is putting them in a dangerous situation. But I would say it's probably more like when I was a kid and you know, and you're in the bathtub and you got like a toy boat or something. It's like you kind of try to make like a whirlpool with one hand, with your left hand, and then with your right hand, you're kind of guiding the ship along through there, right? That ship's securely in my hand. It has no, there's no trouble, no chance that it's going to go down the drain, that it's going to get sucked under the water. I've got it securely in my hand. And I see that more of like what Jesus is doing here. He's in total control. They weren't going to lose their lives on this journey. And it says that meanwhile, the boat was already some distance from the land. It had already been out there a ways. It's battered by the waves because the wind was against them. John adds that they had rowed about 3 to 4 miles. Mark adds that they're in the middle of the sea. So this is where we kind of fast forward. Jesus goes up the mountain to pray. They're in the middle of the sea, in the middle of a storm, and they are as far from land as they could possibly be. There's no quick way out. Doesn't that sound pleasant this morning, church? I want to be in the middle of the sea, as far away from land while the storm is coming. There's no quick way out of here. How many of us have been stuck in some kind of storm in life, and it seems like, man, I'm far from dry land. There's no quick way out of this. I don't really know what I'm going to do next, but there's no easy thing that I can do. They talk about being battered by the waves, and if you think about the imagery of being battered by the waves, it's those seasons of life where it's like something just keeps crashing against you and knocking you down, knocking you over. You make a little bit of progress. Imagine rowing that boat, and if you've ever been on like current river or something canoeing, or if you've been whitewater rafting, right, you don't go upstream. You don't go against it, and it's kind of what they're facing here is this storm is brewing. It's crashing against them, and it's like the waves that knock you down in life. And then it talks about the wind that is against you, this pressure that's coming at you, right? That's what we see with wind. It's the pressure that's pushing against you. It's resisting you, this force that is opposing everything you're trying to do. Anybody ever been in one of those storms in life? Right? You keep getting knocked down. It's like there's opposition everywhere that you go. This can be a hard place to be, and it can seem like it's impossible to overcome. And just like these disciples, I kind of imagine if they started to wonder why. Why are we in this boat? Jesus is on the land. In fact, he's up the mountain. Why are we in this boat? Anybody ever ask God stuff like that? Why am I in this boat? I didn't even want to get in this boat. It's like you made me get in it and you pushed me off the shore. And here I am, and where are you? Well, I'll tell you, in this story, we see that Jesus was praying. Again, I believe he's praying at what's coming forward, but I think he was also praying for them. Hebrews 7:25 tells us that therefore he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, since he always lives to intercede for them. He always lives to intercede for you. He's praying for you, standing in the gap, praying for you to succeed, praying for you to win. And I believe this was part of his prayer for the disciples in the boat. And then we see his reaction, verse 25. Jesus came toward them. walking on the sea very early in the morning. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and they cried out in fear. So Jesus sends them in the boat. It's evening time, and Jesus goes up in the mountain, and they're battling against these waves, against this wind, and we see that Jesus finally comes down, and it's early in the morning. It's early in the morning. Can anybody here testify that sometimes it seems like you got to go through the whole night of battling before it seems like Jesus finally shows up? Sometimes we got to go through most of what seems like the heaviness of the battle. He comes with a miracle, with a supernatural event. Like we see here, he's walking on water, but God intervenes before we lose hope. Sometimes as we're in the storm, as we're learning a lesson, as we're growing in our faith, as we're getting through some stuff, he comes at the right moment to teach us to have faith, right? He wants us to recognize who he is, to trust in him, right? We were singing earlier about his faithfulness. Well, what is it that why is it that we care about faithfulness? Because it helps us to remember to trust in him, that he will come through, that he will see us through, that he will protect us, he will guide for us and provide for us and all these things, even if we don't recognize it, church. They saw him coming and they're like, "Ah, it's a ghost," right? How many of you guys, I don't like being in here when the lights are off. That's why we have night lights around. I don't like to hear some creepy, this building makes a lot of noise. And there's a lot of times where I'm here and I'm like, who is here? The other day, it was Melissa. No cars here. It was during the day. No cars here, and I hear a noise upstairs. So I go upstairs to investigate. Nobody's upstairs. Then I hear a noise in the fellowship hall, so I go to the fellowship hall to investigate. There's nobody in the fellowship hall. Then I think I hear it this way, so I come and I walk in the sanctuary. There's nobody in here. I finally go out there, and there's Melissa. She had been just cleaning and doing stuff, and she's just moving along just enough ahead of me to where I was like, ah, it's Melissa. It's not a ghost. I was very relieved. And there's times where Jesus is working in our lives, and he's working in our lives, and we don't recognize that it's him. We just hear something. We feel something. We sense something, and we kind of write it off like, ah, it's just a ghost. Right? It's just some kind of thing. It's just something that's happening. We don't recognize that it's him. They thought he was a ghost. Imagine being in that boat. Imagine the waves are crashing. The wind is blowing. It's a bad storm, and all of a sudden you see somebody doing what is impossible. You see somebody walking on the water. I mean, to me, I kind of think that their reaction makes sense. I mean, they hadn't seen somebody walk on water before. Nobody else had done this, and their reaction is, it's a ghost. I kind of think that I might think something similar. What you may not know is that in that day, in that culture, there was a rumor. There was a local rumor, and maybe there still is in some parts of the world, that they would say that the last thing that a boatman would see before he drowned was a ghost walking on the water. Now, can you see why they were probably a little bit scared? They're probably like, now things are really bad. I thought we were just in a storm. Guys, we're going to die because there's a ghost, right? The legend is true. The ghost is coming. We're going to drown. Now, can you see why maybe they were struck with fear? They begin to think that it's over. They begin to maybe lose hope here. They maybe begin to think, what are we supposed to do now? And in the meanwhile, it's Jesus coming to rescue them. I think we get in this place a lot of times where we start to believe the rumors, right? Or as in our case, the lies, right? You're drowning. You're finished. That's impossible. You're never going to get through that. You're never going to get out of that. I think about Job, right? His friends are like, just curse God and die. His wife, curse God and die. Just give up. Would you just quit? This is impossible for you. Nobody can help you now. But I like what Mark adds. He gives us a little better understanding of Jesus's view of this in Mark chapter 6, verse 47. It says, well into the night, so early morning, same thing, this boat was in the middle of the sea, and he was alone on the land, Jesus. He saw them straining at the oars because the wind was against them. Very early in the morning, he came toward them walking on the sea, and he wanted to pass them by. Jesus walking on the sea in the midst of the storm, he sees the disciples, they're straining to row. They're having a hard time. It's difficult for them because of the wind, because of the waves. And I don't think that we get the full picture of the fact that Jesus is just walking on the water. He didn't have pockets. He was not doing this. I don't think he had pockets. He might have had pockets. At my home, we watch a lot of, we don't, my the women watch a lot of like dress shows, and sometimes you don't know how excited a bride gets when she puts a dress on and realizes there are pockets in her dress. It's probably pockets for snacks because it's a long day. But I imagine Jesus didn't have any pockets in his robe, but as he's just, you imagine him just calmly walking on the water in the midst of the storm, right? The same waves are crashing against him. The same wind is pressuring him and pushing against and resisting him, and they're struggling to row, and he's just, as far as we can tell, he's just calmly walking down across the sea. He's walking toward them, and as he walks toward them with this wind against him, I kind of picture him not being worried, him not having fear. I mean, I doubt he was like, oh man, these waves are tough. He's just calmly walking. He has perfect peace in the midst of the storm. And as he sees them struggling, it says that he intended to pass them by. Wow, what a friend we have in Jesus, right? I'm struggling. He's just going to walk past, like showing off because he can walk on the water. And we're struggling in a boat, and I see the fact that he's going to pass them by, and my first thought would be like, is this for real? Like, you're just going to go on by here? What you may not realize is they had already had the other episode with the storm in the boat where Jesus was sleeping, and they woke him up, and he's kind of like, man, I'm trying to take a nap down here. What's the problem, guys? Where's your faith at, and what did he do? He calmed the sea. The wind and the waves, they stopped. They've already experienced this here, and now they are here facing the wind and the waves again, struggling in a boat again. And now in this instance, instead of sleeping, Jesus is just taking a stroll across the water, and he's just going to pass on by. You know, I think there are times in our lives where we kind of wonder, like, what is Jesus doing, and where is Jesus going? And sometimes I think he wants to just give us that reminder that he's near, he's there, he's not going to let you die, he's not going to let you drown, he's not going to let you go completely under. He just wants to remind you that he's near, that he's praying for us, that he has given us faith to overcome. See, there's a lot of times we forget the fact that we've been given the faith to overcome. He already calmed the sea, and he said, where's your faith? Did they try to calm the sea this time? No, they didn't try it. They already seen it. Maybe they had the power, right? They had the power to cast out demons. They had the power to heal the sick, to raise the dead. They didn't even try it. I think there are times he wants to remind us that I'm near, but I've given you the power to overcome. But if you get to that point that you can't make it, if you get to that point, you see a ghost and you believe that you are going to drown and you are going to die, he's there. And immediately, in verse 27, it says, immediately Jesus spoke to them, and he said, have courage. It is I. Do not be afraid. Have courage. It's me, Jesus. Don't be afraid. It's not a ghost, right? You're not going to drown. You're not going to die. Here he is walking on water. It's not a normal thing to do. How many of you guys have tried it? Let's just be honest. There is no way I'm the only one that's tried to walk on water. Okay. Well, when we get the pool up and going, you can come over to our house and you can try it. I've tried just walking off the deck and just keep walking. It does not work for me. You go sink right to the bottom. All right. But you think of Jesus walking on water. What is he doing here? He's physically doing something that is impossible. It cannot be done. None of you have tried it because none of you believe that you can do it. I believe that I can do it, but I didn't. All right, I'm going to try it again. Jesus is doing something that the world says You cannot do that. That is impossible. Let me tell you something. The laws that govern this earth, things like gravity, do you realize that Jesus is the one that made those laws? Do you realize that he's the one that put this world into orbit and he makes the sun and the stars rise, that if he wants to walk on water, he can walk on water. But the point here is that our God can do the impossible. He can do what people say cannot be done. Our God can do it. And in verse 28, Peter, I love it, Peter says, "Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water. Command me to come to you." How many of us have gave God one of those things? "Lord, if it's you, then give me a sign. If it's you, then do this, then say this, then speak this to this person. Do something just that I know that it's you. It just approves so I can be sure, because if I know that it's you, God, I'll do whatever you say. If I know that it's you, I'll do whatever you say." But Peter included something else. He said, "If it's you, command me to come to you on the water. God, if that's you doing the impossible, command me to do the impossible with you." Guys, they just did the impossible with him when they fed the 5,000. Right? They just did it with him. See, God wants us to participate in the impossible. He doesn't want to just do it for us. That's the way that the kingdom of God works. See, Jesus is not just a rescuer, right? He's one that also gives us the power to overcome and to do signs, wonders, and miracles on our own with his power, okay? And so Peter says, "If it's you, command me to come. Give me the order." Not just say, "Hey, Peter, if you want to, I mean, if you want to try it, come on." He says, "No, command me. Tell me to do it. Because if you give the order, I know that I can do it." Let me tell you that God will never tell you to do something that is impossible for you to do. He'll never tell you to do something that's impossible for you to do. Peter wanted to get to Jesus in the midst of the storm. And you know, he's in this boat. He probably feels somewhat secure once he sees Jesus, recognizes him. But Peter knew. He knew that it was better to be with Jesus on the water than to be without him in the boat. Peter wanted to get to Jesus so bad. And when we love the Lord the way that Peter loved the Lord, shouldn't our love for him cause us to desire to walk the way that he walked? And so Peter's like, "Lord, if it's you, I want to do it too. Lord, if it's you, just give me the command. Tell me to come." And Jesus says, "Come." Just simply, he says, "Come." He doesn't give Peter any kind of explanation. He doesn't give him a pep talk. He doesn't tell him that, "You know, Peter, this is impossible for you because you're just a man. I can do this." No, he doesn't do any of that. He just says, "Come." Right? If you have the bold faith to ask God for something that crazy and that radical, to walk on water, he's like, "Come. Let's see what you got. Let's see where your faith is really at." He says, "Come," and it says, climbing out of the boat, Peter started walking on water and came toward Jesus. Come. That's a command. That's at God's word. You can do the impossible. You can't just go do the impossible and just give a tally mark to that was God. Right? We see people do things all the time in the name of the Lord and they say, "Yeah, that was God." Let me tell you something that we miss a lot of times when we look at the Ten Commandments and we see "don't use the Lord's name in vain." We think about that just means don't use the Lord's name as a cuss word. Don't use it in vain also means just don't misuse it, period. And there's a lot of people doing a lot of things in the world and they're just like, "Yeah, that was God. God told me to do that," right? That years ago, some of you may not remember, there's like a lady who drove her car into the water with her kids in it. It was like, "God told me to do that." No, he didn't. That was the devil. That wasn't Jesus, right? See, there's a lot of times people do things in the name of the Lord, but the Lord didn't say come. The Lord didn't say go. The Lord didn't say move. But when he says come, when he gives his word, we can do the impossible. And so listen, I don't know what kind of storm you might find yourself in life. I don't know how the wind is pressuring you and how the waves are beating against you. You may find that it's impossible, right? You've been fighting an illness or some kind of diagnosis your whole life, and you're like, it's just impossible, right? We just can't overcome it. The doctors don't know what to do. What I want to tell you is that when God says come, that nothing is impossible. When Jesus is involved, all things are possible, but we got to wait till he says come. Because come is an invitation to not just sit back and watch God work, but it's to participate in the work that he's doing in your life. We can join him in the impossible. We have to move at his word, right? Peter asks for this great thing, and then Jesus says, come, and then what does Peter have to do? He has to respond. See, there's a lot of times we ask God for a miracle. We ask God for him to do something great, something amazing. Let's say someone we know is sick. God, will you heal them? Will you touch them? Will you restore them? Will you do this work in your life? And what he's probably saying oftentimes is, hey, come, right? Come with me. I want you to be a part of this journey. Maybe you need to be the one to take a step and go and lay hands on that person and pray and believe the prayer of faith to heal a person's life. We talk about people who don't know the Lord. Like, man, God, would you please just save this person? He's probably saying, come, right? Come along the journey with me. Go and share the goodness of God with them. Right now, God is the one that does the saving, but there's a lot of times where it's like, I'm relying on you to share the good news. That's why you're still here. If we didn't need to share the good news, we'd all already be in heaven. He says, come, participate in these miracles, in the impossible with me. Listen, when God says come, it doesn't matter what kind of storm that we're in. Listen, all we've got to do is take one step at a time. Put one foot in front of the other, one step at a time, and trusting him with each and every step. It doesn't matter what kind of storm it is, he's Lord of all. Amen? Of all, of every single thing that we can deal with in our lives. And listen, when we join him in the impossible, we can defy the odds, right? I don't care what my odds are when I go to the doctor. What are my odds, right? A lot of people want to know, what are their odds for survival? Who cares about the odds, right? Do the odds really mean anything if the Holy Spirit gets involved? No. They don't mean anything. You might be like, what am I facing? Give me the realistic, what do we need to be praying for? What do we need to be praying against? When we join God in the impossible, listen, we can do things that the world says we can't. There ain't one single person out of that 5,000 plus women and children that would have been like, Jesus would have been like, hey guys, do you think I can walk on water? There ain't nobody that would have been like, yeah, I'm sure that you can. They'd have been like, no, man. Listen, do you not understand science? That's not possible. But he did it, and then he invited Peter to do it with him. You can walk on water if Jesus says, come. Lazarus, dead in the grave for 4 days. Say 4 days. That's a long time. I love the King James version where it says that Lazarus stinketh, right? 4 days. He doesn't smell good. Like, it's not just that he's in there for 4 days and like, well, maybe he's sleeping, maybe he's in a coma. No, he's stinking. Okay? He stinketh. It ain't good. And Jesus comes and he weeps. He loves Lazarus. It's his friend. But what does Jesus say when he gets to that grave? He says, Lazarus, come forth. It's a command from God that says, whatever situation you're in, whatever the impossible looks like, you could be dead and stinky, but if he says, come, you can rise up and walk right out of that grave. He says, come. It's a command of the Lord. And when Jesus says, come, and it even can move the dead, surely it can cause you to walk on water in the midst of a storm. Amen? Surely it can. Verse 30, but when he saw, Peter, saw the strength of the wind, he was afraid. and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me. Lord, save me." Listen, I want to tell you that walking on water spiritually, right, responding to Jesus when he says, "Come," it's really not that hard. Right? It's not that hard to walk on water. It's not that hard to respond to the call to come. Here's what's hard, is staying on top of the water. It's hard to stay on top. It's hard to keep the faith. It's hard to keep believing when you start to look around and you start to see the people that are making fun of you, the people that are saying you can't do that, the people that are saying, no, you're still in an impossible situation. Something's going to go wrong. Something's going to happen. You're going to start to stink, I guess. You could do both. But when you think about that, all these people, right, all these things, when you start to see those things with your eyes, church, it can be hard to stay on top of the water. It can be hard. It's easy to go out. It's hard to stay on top. When you think about Peter right here, did anything about Jesus change? No, nothing about Jesus changed. Did anything about the storm change? No, it doesn't say anything about the waves weren't any bigger. It doesn't say that the wind was any stronger. It doesn't say that Jesus went anywhere. It doesn't say any of this stuff. But God, who does the impossible, he was still doing the impossible. Jesus is still unmoved. He's still unfazed. He's still doing the impossible. But Peter was the difference in this story. Peter is the one who began to take his eyes off of Jesus and to start and look at his surroundings. And he let the fear of the storm overtake him. The same storm. Peter walking on water, doing the impossible. I don't know about you, but if I am in Peter's shoes, and I'm walking on water, you know, and I'm like looking at Jesus, I'm probably going to look at my feet. I'm going to be like, is this for real? Like, look at Jesus, look at my feet. Look at Jesus, look at my feet. Like, this is amazing. I'd be like, Jesus, do you see this? Look at my feet. I'm walking on the water, right? I'd be so excited. I'd be like, man, you got to be kidding me. Look at what, I'm doing what you're doing, right? I look like you. And you know, little kids do that with their dads, right? When they start to do what they're doing, especially outside, a dad that's working on something, if your kid can come along and they can start to do what you're doing, they get so excited. I'm sure little girls do that with their moms too. I just don't have experience with that since I'm not a mom. But you know, imagine that kid when it's like, Dad, I'm doing what you're doing. This is so cool. I'm experiencing the same thing. This is kind of how I imagine that I would react, but it wasn't the impossible that drew Peter's attention away. I mean, think about that for a moment. Wouldn't you think if anything was going to draw your attention away from Jesus, it would be to look at the impossible, to begin to look at, man, this is crazy. This doesn't even make sense. This is not scientifically possible. That's what I would think would draw your attention away. But for Peter, it wasn't the impossible. It was the fear of the storm. It was the fear of the storm. Listen, fear will sink you every time if you let it. Fear will always sink you if you let it. Peter stepped out by faith, and he started to sink by fear. He saw the wind, and his heart failed him. Right? He saw that wind, and he started to think. His heart failed him, and once his heart failed him, his feet began to fail him, and he began to sink. See, our heart is part of our soul, our mind, will, and our emotions, and our body follows our soul. So once he started to think about the wind, his body started to follow suit and is like, yep, you're right. We can't do this. I'm going down. Fear will sink you every time. So even though Peter was doing what was physically impossible, he's walking on water, it was only possible because his heart was set on Jesus. It was only possible because his heart was set on Jesus. Corrie ten Boom has this great quote where she said, look around and be distressed. Look inside and be depressed, but look at Jesus and be at rest. How true that is. If he would have just kept his eyes on Jesus, he would have been able to continue to do the impossible. There's nothing more powerful than Jesus. Amen? Listen, I want to tell you that this morning, whatever storm that you're in, Jesus knew that you'd be in it. He knew that you'd be in it, but you also need to know that he's with you, that he's near, that when you get to that point where you feel like you're sinking, where you feel like you can't do it anymore, and you're on your own because it's crashing over you, it's pressing against you, Jesus is the calm in that storm. He is the calm in that storm. He said, have courage. His response to Peter in verse 31 was, immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught hold of him. And he said to him, you of little faith, why do you doubt? Peter, as he begins to sink, as he looks at the things around him, he starts to sink. He cries out, Lord, save me. At least he was in the right place there. Amen. At least he knew that when it gets to where I'm starting to go down, at least I know what to say. Listen, church, if you've got that nailed down, you're going to be all right. If you can get to that place where you know that when it gets too much, I can cry out, Lord, save me, and I know that he'll be there, like you'll be all right. And so Peter knows this. He's actually sinking. The storm was still raging. But I want to tell you that this right here is the first moment that he was actually in danger, because he was starting to sink. So he's in danger. He's in this place where he knows that he needs saved. He calls out, and Jesus reaches out and catches him by the hand. Listen, some of you are afraid to even try to respond to Jesus' call to come, right? You're afraid to even try that. I'm not getting out of the boat. I'm not stepping on water. I'm going to stay right here. I'm going to wait for Jesus to get here, for him to calm the storm, for him to do all the work. But Peter was never in danger because of his response to Jesus. You catch that? He was never in danger because he responded to come, because he stepped out. That had nothing to do with the danger that he had. The moment he entered into danger was when he responded to the storm. And when he responded to the storm, he sinned, because Jesus said, take courage, for it's me. And he said, don't be afraid. He saw the storm. He got afraid. He sinned, and he began to sink. It is I. Do not be afraid. If you're going to do the impossible, we have to keep our eyes on the one who makes it possible. Verse 32 and 33 here, wrapping up. It says, when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshiped Jesus and said, truly, you are the Son of God. They got into the boat. Anybody ever been canoeing and had a canoe tip over? Like, it can be very hard to get back in the canoe, especially two people, right? I mean, you're like, okay, dude, who's going first, right? We can't both get in on the same side at the same time. And if you don't have any good foundation, if you don't have a branch or a bank that you can kind of step off of, I mean, it can be hard if the water's moving. It can be hard to get back in, and it can be very rough if it's a fast current. And here with Peter and Jesus, I kind of picture that. It's a much bigger boat, of course, but I picture them trying to get back into this boat, and then I thought, you know, the last thing we saw of Peter was he was beginning to sink. It actually doesn't say that Peter ever sank. It says he was beginning to sink. And when he did, he called out to Jesus, and Jesus reached out his hand. And now we see they just get back into the boat in the midst of the storm. How many of you guys get this picture of Jesus? Right where he's carrying Peter, like Peter's a baby. Peter was a big dude, all right? I don't know if that's true, but in all the movies, they always make Peter really big. I'm not sure why, but he apparently was large. And so we always kind of picture Jesus rescues Peter like a lifeguard. He's got him thrown over his shoulder. He's carrying him like a, 240-pound baby or something, and he sets him in the boat. I don't believe that's what happened here, church. I just don't believe it, because I don't see that in the Word. We think that either Jesus carried Peter to the boat and put him in, or we think that Peter completed the sink, right? The impossible was over, and he swam over, and he crawled back up into the boat. I don't believe that's what happened, because the last thing we're told is that Jesus reached out his hand. That Jesus reached out and took hold of him, and then they got back in the boat. See, I believe that when Jesus reached out his hand, I believe that the impossible continued. I believe that the impossible was not over. See, Peter started to sink, and he's thinking, I was walking on water, and then I got scared, and I didn't know what to do, and I cried out to the Lord, and the Lord reached out and took my hand. And then they continued to walk on the water. This is what I believe happened. I don't see anything contrary to it in the Word. I see that they just went and got in the boat. That they continued to walk on water, because when Jesus reaches out his hand, he continues to lead you in the impossible. It's not over for you yet just because you had some kind of failing. Peter walked back to the boat on water, hand in hand with Jesus, and he got in the boat. Listen, God's not done with your miracle just because you messed something up. If you can say, Lord, save me, you get your eyes back on Jesus, listen, the miracle continues. The impossible continues. God doesn't just say, well, good luck, idiot. You had fear, you're dead, right? He's not like that. It says that he immediately reached out his hand. He didn't even hesitate when Peter said, Lord, help me. He didn't even hesitate. It was immediate. Yes, I'm here for you. This journey continues. The impossible is going to continue. But you've got to call out and you've got to take his hand. There's so many times we get stuck in this impossible thing. And listen, I just tell you, I've got psoriasis on my head, and I've gotten some other places. There was a time where I was healed at this altar. And I went and I testified of my healing. And I told everybody it was gone for the first time since I was 13 years old. And guess what happened? In about 2 weeks, it came back. That was 12 years ago. Still have it. But listen, I'm going to tell you that I'm still believing that God is at work. I'm still believing that he's moving, that he's working, that if he healed me once, that he'll heal me again. I believe that the miracle is not over. I believe that the impossible is not over. I believe that God can do all things. He can, what we sang earlier, he can heal and restore anything that he wants to. Anything. And so all my job is to continue to say, Lord, help. I'll reach out, I take your hand, and I believe that we can keep walking down this impossible path and believe for something that the world says is not possible. This is an incurable disease, an incurable disorder to the world. It's not to my God, and it's not to me. And so when we look at what Jesus and Peter did here, they got back into the boat not because Peter failed. See, we look at the end of this story, and we think, wow, well, Peter was going to walk on water. I think that maybe we thought he was just going to walk to the other side with Jesus, but since they got in the boat, he obviously is seen as a failure. But Jesus was with him. They didn't get in the boat because he failed. They got in the boat because Jesus was with him. The wind had ceased immediately when they got in the boat. That word that it ceased in the Greek, it means that it got weary. Listen, the wind got weary. The wind got tired of fighting against Jesus. The wind got tired of the resistance of the Holy Spirit saying, no, no, you can't have my people. You can't overcome them. You can't overwhelm them. You can't drown them. You can't crash them. You can't sink them. I resist you. I rebuke you. The wind got tired and it gave up at the moment that Jesus got in the boat. They're like, Jesus is fully here. He's arrived. We're done. See, it's the storm that was done. It's the storm that came to the end because it was tired of resisting against God Almighty. Listen, the Holy Spirit will resist the enemy on your behalf. The Holy Spirit will, listen, you wonder why our world is like, it's getting worse and worse and worse, but why hasn't, you know, all hell broke loose, so to speak? Why hasn't that happened? Because the Word talks about the restrainer, that the Holy Spirit is restraining evil to a certain degree. Listen, he's restraining evil from harming you. He's restraining it from having more influence in your life. And when he does, listen, it leads us back to that place of worship and adoration of Jesus Christ. It leads us back to that place, church. Would you stand with me today as we close? Listen, you can choose to worry or you can choose to worship when it comes down to the end of the day. Right? In an instant, we see the men in this boat, they were worried. They were fearful. We see in an instant that was changed to their worship. And so this morning, listen, I realize that sometimes it's easy to preach a message like this when things are going good in your life. It's easy to receive a message like this when things are going well in your life. And when you're not, when things are hard, when you're in that storm, it's kind of like, but you don't know my storm. And I don't. But I know the one who does. Right? I know that Jesus does know your storm. I know that he does know what you're going through. I know that he does know how the waves have beaten you up and knocked you down. I know that he does know how that wind pushes against you and it feels like you're stuck in this storm in the dark forever. Listen, I also know that he knows how to walk across that water in the midst of the storm and bring calm and bring peace and bring understanding and bring comfort. He can do all those things and he'll come to you. Amen? He'll come to you. He'll call you to the impossible. Whatever that is, whatever you've got to get through, he'll call you to join him on that journey. He'll say, come. Come. And you might take a step or two and then you might say, this is too hard, or maybe I didn't hear God. Maybe that wasn't him because this doesn't seem to be working out. Been there, done that. Do we take the next step, which is to cry out and say, Lord, save me. Right? Either save me because I messed up and I stepped out when I thought it was you and it wasn't, or save me because I stepped out when I thought it was you and it was, but I gave up, but I lost hope. Either way, will you save me? And we know that he will reach out his hand and continue to lead us in the impossible. The Holy Spirit will wear out the wind. Amen? If you would bow your heads and close your eyes. As we get ready to open up the altars this morning, as we get ready to worship Jesus, if you've got some impossible in your life today, I don't know what that is for you. For somebody, it may be battling depression for years and years and years, and it seems like there's no way out. It seems like there's no hope. I want to tell you that there is hope in Christ Jesus. I want to tell you that he's one that can heal not just our physical body, but our mind. He can heal our emotions. He can heal what we're going through internally, externally. It doesn't matter. He can do it all. And so this morning, I want to invite you to come. I want to give that call on behalf of the Lord that says, come. Take that step out on the open water. And as you take that step, just believe that Jesus will meet you there. Maybe for you, it's an ailment in your physical body. Maybe it's a relationship with your spouse that's broken, that's hurting, that it looks good on the outside, but you know at home in the secret, in the quiet, that you're struggling. I want you to come. I want you to take that step out on the open water this morning. Respond to the word of the Lord, what we sang earlier again. Dry bones, that just means something that's dead, something that needs life infused. Hear the word of the Lord, and he says, come. And so whatever that is for you, whatever the impossible is, I want you to come. I want you to come. I want you to come and stand along the front of these altars. And I'm going to come along and anoint you with oil and pray and believe that our God, who is willing and able, that today he will set you free. That today will be the last day that you have to walk in the impossible on your own, thinking that it can't be done, because he's a God who makes things that are impossible possible. Not only does he make them possible, but he'll do them. He'll get them done. And so, Lord, we just pray right now for you to speak to our hearts. The God of the impossible, the one who makes all things possible, we just pray that you'd speak to each of our hearts. Give us conviction if there's something you want to do in us this morning, that you would exercise those words and you would say, come. to those that are in this place this morning. God, that we believe that when we step out of that boat, when our foot hits the water, Lord, if we keep our eyes on you, if we keep our focus on you, our attention on you, Lord, we know that we can do the impossible and we can walk on water and we can overcome anything that this life throws at us, that the storm is nothing compared to you. So we just pray you'd release that upon our hearts this morning. Help us to hear your voice. Silence every voice that's not you right now in Jesus' name. Help us to hear your voice only, that we could respond to the word to come. And we praise you for it. We worship you right now in Jesus' name. Amen.